still to come. Brent Boomer-Harvey to join me in about 15 minutes' time to talk all things were in the Big V, North Melbourne, what is in store for North Melbourne in 2020, where he sees their development and their next charges go to come from. And we'll talk to Boomer as well about game style, what might be the evolution of game style in 2020 and whether the slow ball movement will change and we'll get a little bit more quick ball movement from teams in 2020, which would be nice to see. Keith Thomas is also going to join me and Nick D'Alessandro to join me in around half an hour from now. So plenty still to come on the program. And I'll continue to take your calls, 1300 736 736 and your speckled text if you want to text in. What a talent is Peter Duncan, natural media performer. Love to hear more of her, Bob, in Bentley. So I appreciate that, Bob. I'll pass that on to Peter. Keith Thomas joins me, Port Adelaide CEO. Welcome to you, Keith. Great to have you on the program.
Hello, Duane. Great to be here, mate.
It's an interesting scenario that faces Port in a lot of different ways in 2020. But first and foremost, it is the 150th anniversary year. So you've got so much on your agenda, whether China's going to happen, whether you make the finals, whether Ken keeps his job. But also, it's such a big year for the club overall that you're kind of even more nervous than ever to get it right.
Yeah, there is a bit going on. Firstly, look, it is the 150th year. It's going to be really very special. We've got a big gala evening on Friday night, and there'll be 1,600 people there, all of the greats of the club over many years, and so we've got a lot of history to reflect upon and enjoy. But I guess the most important thing for us at the moment is thinking about the year coming, and from an on-field point of view, I'm enjoying all the positive energy that's coming out of the group. You know, we've had a good summer. We've got a healthy list. I think the coaches and the players are feeling good about the platform that they've built for the year, which is terrific. And so we're looking forward to it. As you say, China is another little challenge, but we're working through that one.
Yeah, I'll talk to you more about that shortly. But it seems to me that all the parameters are in place for a successful year. You've been part of putting those parameters in place, but you couldn't really have asked for a better foundation to head into 2020 with in terms of who's fit now, the recruiting's been good, so many things that have been headed in the right direction parlayed into one year.
Yeah, well, I think that's this really began at the end of that really disappointing year in 2018, where I think if you remember, we're round 15, we're in the top four, and we didn't make the finals that year. And I reckon at that point, Ken and the list managers decided that we needed to bite the bullet, and we went back into the draft pretty aggressively. We traded out some pretty high profile players to make that possible, and 2019 really started to show what that sort of a strategy can deliver. We brought in three high-end young youthful talent with Dersmer and Connor Rosie and Zach Butters, and who performed pretty well, and we've done it again this year. So we were pretty pleased about where the young guys sit, but the real change for us heading into 2020 is that players like Charlie Dixon and Brad Ebert and those sort of guys, Hamish Hartlett to a lesser degree, are fit and healthy, have had big pre-season. So we're going to get, we think, a really significant uplift from the experienced guys, which we just didn't have last year. They suffered at different times through the year with injury and poor pre-seasons. And so we feel like we're in a better position.
And you've hitched your wagon to Ken Hinckley a long time ago. If you didn't give him the extra year, he probably wouldn't be there now, yeah?
Well, I've been a big believer in Ken. I appointed Ken at the outset. I think that I observe that he has a fantastic relationship with the playing group, always has. We've been largely competitive through his period. I think we'd all say that we would have liked to have pushed on in probably 2 or 3 years in his period, you know, that we would have liked to have gone a bit further. But, you know, I've been really pleased with Ken's attitude and his approach to development over the last 2 or 3 years. In the last week, he's been over with Eddie Jones in England, you know, with the English rugby team, looking at that, doing professional development. And, you know, I think that he's in a great frame of mind and, you know, really looking forward to getting the best out of this team this year.
Was there ever a time when you questioned yourself about whether it was the right decision to give him that extra year?
No, I didn't. I don't at all. You know, I think that if you look at the when that decision was made, it was at the end of 2017. We'd finished that year fifth. We lost that final against West Coast, double overtime. It was desperately close to, you know, proceeding that year. And I thought we were, you know, we were a very dangerous side in 2017. And so really what we did there is that we decided to extend Ken's contract. He had a year to go. We extended it a little bit further, fully confident about the team's, you know, potential. And as I said, you know, 2018, after 15 rounds, we were right amongst it. So we're not thrilled about where we finished that year, I think that I haven't regretted it for a minute, and I still think that our best is still ahead of us.
So your successor, sooner, later, how's the interview process going? Are you involved at all?
Well, I won't be involved. I reckon what happens is I'll get asked what do we need, and then the board will go about finding that person through a search process. When they come in, I'll probably spend a little bit of time transitioning the person in, and then quietly sort of back out, I think. I don't know when that will be. My contract goes through to the end of October, and I've said to the board, I'll take as long as required to ensure that we leave the club in the best possible shape, and you know that'll take place over the course of the year. But I haven't really even lifted the eyes to think about what's next in that regard. We've been so busy getting this year in place and ready. I guess that'll happen in the next 2 or 3 months.
Is the club putting out a mission statement, I understand, with the targets and goals for the next few years? Is that correct, that there's got to be something put out by the club?
Well, we completed that at the end of last year, actually. It was a five-year plan, and had all of those things included. And I think that's standard practice for clubs these days. And so we signed off on that last year. We're now at the point of integrating that all through the club and executing off that plan. So, you know, we're well down that track. And I think that as a whole, you know, we're very pleased. You know, we had the big announcement yesterday with MG coming on as a major partner. So, from a financial point of view, with GFG and MG locked down for the next 5 years, you know, we've got our China strategy in good shape and underpinned by Shanghai Cred. Financially, we're in really solid position. We think the footy program's up and about and ready to do some things. We're feeling like we're on the cusp of a pretty good period.
Can't win a flag every year, though, Keith. So what are the parameters for success at the Port Adelaide Football Club in the 2020 AFL environment? Because we know what it was like in the 70s and 80s, where you either won a flag or you lost. You had an unsuccessful year. Yeah. How do you change that mindset?
Well, I like the mindset. We never back away from it. When you walk into the corridors of Port Adelaide, that is the expectation, and what I say to the guys is embrace it. You know, there's an inbuilt accountability and expectation at Port Adelaide that you must embrace, and so we do that. The reality is that it's a highly competitive competition, and But I think that our expectation is to always be competitive, always be playing finals, and whenever you can and as often as you can, pushing yourself up to be competing for premierships. And we haven't been able to do that consistently enough over the last 8 or 9 years. You know, we've done it at times. We haven't been there all the time, but we haven't. I think the worst Kenny's era has been 10th. So, we feel as if we're not far away, but we're not where we want to be. And 2020 needs to push up into a highly competitive space, and I think we will.
So MG is owned by a Shanghai-based company, so you're pretty much financially loaded into China to the point that even if you considered pulling out right now, you have to wait for the government to make a decision for you, even though you might probably have a couple of players and a few staff members right now probably putting their hand up saying, I don't want to go. you have to wait for the government, essentially, because you don't want to make that call yourself. Is that the way I'm reading it? Or is that the right way?
No, not at all. No, I don't think so. What we're really doing is saying, well, look, we're playing May 31st. It's a fair way out. We're dealing with a very dynamic situation where every day it seems as if the circumstances in China and around the region change. And so we're really just, like everyone else, just watching carefully, trying to ascertain whether, in fact, by May, the end of May, the environment will be such that it's safe to go in.
Whether you're going to get a crowd and whether fans are happy to go and whether the players can walk the streets as well to enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that's really the point. The thing is that by the end of May, it'll be summer or thereabouts, and there's every chance that the virus will be gone by then, or certainly contained. The problem is that we have to attract people to the game, and that has to happen in March and April and May, and so we have to pull the decision quite considerably further. I think a decision's got to be made by about mid-March, by the first round, so that everyone understands what we're trying to do. But we've deliberately taken a wait-and-see approach. I think that's wise. We're taking the best advice possible, and we'll make that call. But I'm not certain that the Chinese government will make that call. I know they have been sort of advising other sporting organisations in the last few weeks, but this is really going to be about the AFL and Port Adelaide in particular, assessing the environment and wondering whether we can get it done or not. But we'll give ourselves every opportunity.
And will you get the right to wear the prison bars whenever you like, as opposed to having to ask other people for the right to wear them beyond 2020?
Well, the reality is that we do have to seek approval to wear a Guernsey other than our normal Guernsey via the AFL, and we're no different to any other club in that matter. So that's a process that we'll go through. We're looking forward to round two of that showdown, and we'll be wearing the prison bar there. And what happens beyond that is to be determined. But we think it's going to be a massive celebration of that iconic Guernsey, what it means to the Port Adelaide Football Club in our 150th year, which we're really looking forward to.
Would you ever consider for the next 150 years having a teal, white and teal prison bar?
Yeah, I think that would be a conversation that we would have to have pretty broadly. I personally don't like it. I think, I can't get past the iconic Guernsey. And I'm not sure about its variation. I'd need to think more carefully about it. But if we were to do anything like that, that would be a whole of club conversation, I think, because it's such an important thing. But for me, that Guernsey represents all that's gone before it, and to mess with it, wouldn't sit comfortably with me. But I'm certainly not the only voice in that conversation.
Well, you might be out of the conversation in a year. Keith, great to have you on the program. The last quick one. Could you ever see, I see the 76ers, I see the 36ers. Could you ever see 1870 being Port Adelaide's Brown? I know we've got the power. You can never use the Magpies again. Could you ever see 1870 being the brand?
Look, it's a personal decision, personal conversation with me. I don't see it. I see Port Adelaide as the brand.
Yeah.
I think that is the story of our club.
Yep.
1870 is part of the story, but Port Adelaide is the story.
Yeah. We'll have a chat about that another time. But to me, the reflection of the birthplace of Port Adelaide and,
yes,
you know, carrying that history forward as a moniker, 1870, as opposed to, you know, the power and not being able to use the Magpies. But you and I have many a conversation over time, Keith. This is one that's on air. People can consume it for what they're worth. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, Bono. They are all good conversations. I love them all.
Good luck, Keith. Port Adelaide CEO Keith Thomas. He's hitched his bandwagon to Ken Hinckley. I've hitched my bandwagon to Ken Hinckley. So it's make or break this year.